And God has never failed us yet. Thanks be to God. I invite us this morning to continue looking at places of our faith. This morning we'll visit Peniel and encounter another Jacob story, another opportunity that Jacob has to encounter God. So I invite you to journey with me, if you will, in the book of Genesis to the 32nd chapter. I'll start at verse 22. Will you hear now God's word? That same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." The man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This, friends, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Wrestling. Wrestling is a combat sport. It requires great physical condition. But even more than your physicality, it's important that you be in the right mental position to enter into a wrestling match. Two wrestlers that are seeking to achieve a superior position over the other in order that one might be pinned. They bring all their physicalness onto that match, but they also show up 100% ready in their minds, ready to face the opponent in front of them. The object of wrestling is to put your opponent on his back. To pin your opponent, a pin or a fall is when the opponent has both shoulders or both parts of the shoulder blades in contact with the mat for at least 3 seconds. Kevin spent some time coaching wrestling earlier in his career, and so I spent many nights in the stands there watching those forever long wrestling matches. Really, the longest ones were the Saturday tournaments that lasted from morning until late at night. We spent our first Valentine's Day together like that. So romantic. So I can picture these wrestlers who come on to the mat, ready, physically ready, mentally ready to engage in their match together. And much of what happened oftentimes at the beginning of the mat was sort of this, the beginning of the match was sort of this play, like what's going to really happen? And so sometimes the component was willing to risk some points in order to delay the match just a little bit, trying to see if the other person was mentally as engaged as perhaps he was. And so they'd go sort of around the outside of the mat, never touching each other until finally somebody would shoot, and then there they would engage in the wrestling match. Wrestlers' bodies are able to bend in ways that should not be humanly possible. This morning we encounter Jacob. We encounter Jacob who is in a wrestling match. We're in a wrestling match, as the scripture says, with a man. an unnamed man. And we learn, though, in the text that this unnamed man is God, God's self. So Jacob enters into a wrestling match with God. I want to invite us to remember back to where we were last week with Jacob and catch us up to a little bit that's happened between those two places in Jacob's story. So you remember Jacob, the liar, the cheater, the deceiver, the fugitive on the run, has this dream. And in the dream, he encounters God in such a way, sees the ladder of the angels going up and down, and he realizes that surely God is in this place. Surely God is with him. He names the place Bethel as a reminder that surely the Lord is in this place. And so now it's time for Jacob to move on. Remember, he's trying to escape his brother Esau, who's going to come and kill him, who wants to come and kill him. So the escape continues, and Jacob enters into his uncle's land, his uncle named Laban. And early in the entering into this land, he encounters a beautiful woman named Rachel. And Jacob decides that Rachel, it really pulls at his heartstrings, and he wants to be married to her. And so he goes to Laban, and he says that he wants to marry Rachel. And Laban says, well, then you're going to give me 7 years of hard work. 7 years of hard work, and then you can have Rachel. So Jacob invests all of himself for 7 years, hard work to Laban, in order that Rachel can be his wife. And at the end of the 7 years, Laban brings his other daughter, Leah, to Jacob. And he says that that's going to be his wife. Jacob and Leah have a child. And then Laban finally agrees, because of perhaps of Jacob's faithfulness to this plan, that he also can marry his daughter, Rachel. Rachel is barren. Rachel's not able to have children. Meanwhile, Leah, his other wife, is able to produce. And Jacob is finally fed up. He's fed up with being with Laban. He's fed up with all that's going on in his life. And so he thinks, maybe now is time to go back home. Maybe I've given my brother Esau, my twin brother Esau, maybe I've given him enough time to calm down. By this point, it's been over 7 years. Maybe he's just sort of forgotten how I cheated him out of the birthright, how I tricked my daddy into blessing me. Maybe he's forgotten that, and he won't be as angry with me. So Laban agrees that it's time for Jacob and the rest of his family to continue on. And so they start on this journey back home to meet Esau. Jacob says, well, maybe I should send a gift ahead of me. Kind of test the waters a little bit. Let me send something really good to Esau. So in case he's still just a little mad at me, this gift will make it all go away and he'll be happy. So Jacob says to his servants, hey, servants, take this to Esau. And so he sends all of the livestock and all sorts of wonderful things to Esau. And Jacob's men take it there. They give it to Esau and they say, Jacob wanted this to come to you. He wanted to give this to you. Perhaps you can maybe receive it even as a peace offering. Like, we can move on in life. They come back and report to Jacob, Esau's coming for you, Jacob. And not only is Esau coming for you, Jacob, but he's bringing 400 men with him. Esau's coming for you, Jacob, and he's bringing 400 men with him. Here is this Jacob. Here is this Jacob who knows in his heart that surely God is in this place and God is with him. And yet he is terrified. His lies, his deceit, his sibling rivalry, it's all sort of weighing heavily on his shoulders. He feels threatened. He feels scared. He feels afraid. He is miserable. But he continues on. And so he reaches the Jabbok River, which is where we pick up in our scripture today. He reaches the Jabbok River and he says to Leah and Rachel and the maids that have been assigned to him and to the rest of their family and all of his sons and all of their possessions, he sends them on across the river. And he stays by himself. Here's where Jacob is, alone, afraid, miserable, scared for his life. Sometimes, friends, perhaps we find ourselves at that same point. Crippled by fear, unready to face the reality of a broken relationship, alone, unsure of what's next. All of our lies, all of our deceit, all of our past, all of our shame seems to weigh heavily on our shoulders. Like Jacob, we are alone. We feel abandoned. We feel forgotten. And we do not know what to do. In that moment, Jacob wrestles. Jacob enters into a wrestling match. In that moment of fear and anxiety, in the moment of knowing that I have messed up my life, Jacob begins to wrestle. We too wrestle. We wrestle in life's situations, in life's choices. We wrestle over tough decisions that we have to make. We wrestle over what God is calling us to do or where God is calling us to serve. Wrestling doesn't always have to be a bad thing. We wrestle when God asks us to do something or go somewhere and we're not sure that we have the courage to do that. We wrestle over particular passages in Scripture. We as a church wrestle over particular social ideas and principles. In fact, at the very heart of the church through the years, is a wrestling. A wrestling as the church seeks to determine the position that we should stand on issues like slavery, racism, women's rights, women's ordination. We as the church wrestle. We wrestle with God over what God is saying to us. Even today, our church universal and our church, the United Methodist Church and other denominations, wrestle over issues of human sexuality. We know what it's like to wrestle. To wrestle in our personal lives, to wrestle in our corporate lives, to wrestle in our church lives. And we are invited to learn from Jacob's wrestling match words that can speak to us when we find ourselves wrestling. So Jacob wrestles with a man. This man is not able to prevail or pin Jacob down. Yet he strikes Jacob in the hip, perhaps as an attempt to get Jacob's attention. The man says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "No, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." "What is your name?" says the man. "Well, my name's Jacob." "Oh, Jacob. Oh, Jacob, you shall no longer be called by that name. You shall be called Israel, because you have wrestled and you have striven with God and you have prevailed." Jacob asks the man, "What is your name?" And the man says, "Why should I have to tell you my name?" Remember back to that other story. Surely the Lord is in this place. Why, Jacob, should I have to tell you my name? And we find in the scripture that the man that Jacob is wrestling is in fact God, God's self. Brothers and sisters, when we wrestle with God, we change. When we wrestle with God, we change. As Jacob wrestled, he became blessed by God. He received a new name. He even received an injury that forever changed his physicalness of his body. Wrestling with God leads to a promise and leads to a new life. This wrestling match really tells us more about who God is than it tells us about Jacob. Because when we wrestle with God, we change. God is unchanging. God, the God of the universe, will not change today, tomorrow, or forever. God is God. And when we wrestle with God, the person that always ends up changed is us. God enters into the struggle with Jacob. God enters into the wrestling match with Jacob in order to reveal some about God's self to Jacob. It doesn't matter, Jacob, if you want to wrestle over this. It doesn't matter what your fears are, what your past mistakes are, what your anxiety is. It doesn't matter how you're feeling in this moment. I'm going to enter the match with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. That I have promised to you. And so God and Jacob wrestle. And Jacob ends up changed. Jacob ends up changed. He's changed first with a new name. He's no longer going to be called Jacob. Now he's going to be called Israel. Israel, which literally means God strives. So this new name that God gives to Jacob, God strives, again, tells more about who God is than anything about Jacob. The new name says, I am the God that entered the wrestling match with you. I am striving towards you. I am choosing to be in a relationship with you, Jacob. You are mine. You have striven with me. You have struggled with me, and I strive towards you. You are mine. God is active. God is active in the wrestle that Jacob endures, assuring Jacob that he is never, ever left alone. And Jacob walks away also changed from this encounter because of a physical limitation that this man strikes him in the hip joint. And I don't believe that was to punish Jacob or to make Jacob, you know, have to deal with a limp for the rest of his life. Yet I believe that was so Jacob could remember this encounter today and all the days of his life, that he left this wrestling match changed. He walked away from that nighttime encounter with God forever changed. A new name and a physical condition, a limp that would forever remind him that when he entered into wrestling with God, even in that moment, God did not abandon him. God did not leave him alone. God welcomed the opportunity to meet him in the midst of his fear. God welcomed the opportunity to meet him in the midst of his sinful nature, all the lies and all the deceit. God welcomed the opportunity to meet him when he felt alone and abandoned, because Jacob belongs to God. You and I are not alone either. When we enter into those wrestling matches with our God invites us into those wrestling matches. Remember, it's our God that is unchanging. It is us that need to be changed. Those times when tough decisions happen, or tough decisions lie on the brink that we need to make them, or God is calling us to do something and we're not sure if we have the strength to do it, or we have to decide what it is that we think and feel and believe about a particular thing, we are invited to struggle, to wrestle, and to struggle with our God. And God invites us into that time in order that we might be changed, that we might be made more into the person that God has created and called us to be. Jacob wrestled with God, and in his wrestling, he was blessed. He was assured that he would continue to receive the promises offered to him, that he would follow the lineage of being the God of Abraham and Isaac, and now the God of Jacob. So the promise continued for Jacob. It was Jacob that was changed. It was Jacob that was in change because of that nighttime wrestling match. And so at the brink of morning, Jacob realizes what has happened, what has occurred during the nighttime. And I can imagine him sort of standing there, this time filled with a sense of peace. You know, at the start of the night, he was full of fear and anxiety, weighed down by the pressures of the decisions he's made in life and the people who wanted to attack him. And in the morning, he was able to stand tall, to name the place of the wrestling match Peniel, because Jacob says, I have seen God face to face. I have seen God face to face. I'm sure those of you who are parents and grandparents, you know exactly what I'm talking about when we need to have those face-to-face conversations with the people that we love. Or those of us who might be married, we know exactly what it's like to have a face-to-face conversation. Or boss and employer, we need to have a face-to-face conversation. Because when we look somebody in their eyes, they're no longer just a situation. They're no longer just a bunch of fear, a bunch of mistakes, a bunch of mess. They're a person. A person that we're in relationship with. And Jacob says, I have seen God face to face. I have seen the very God who created me face to face. And I know with a shadow of a doubt that I can move on because God is with me. Their wrestling match ended at daybreak. And so the words of the psalmist ring true. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. For us, wrestling may last through the night. Life, new life, comes in the morning. Today, wherever you find yourself in the wrestling match of life, maybe you find yourselves on the sidelines, wishing the loved one who's wrestling with God would just hurry up and get it over with, so you can move on. Maybe you're that beloved coach-like person in someone's life who's actually wrestling this moment with God. And you're right there with them, alongside of them, trying to encourage them to work out this wrestle with God. Maybe you're on the mat yourself. Maybe you have on your singlet and your headgear and you're ready to go. You're physically ready and you're mentally prepared. And you're already out there wrestling with all that you have and all that you are. Maybe you just left the wrestling mat. Maybe you just finished your wrestle with God. And you're offering God praise and thanks that God endured with you through the night. And that joy has come in the morning. And still maybe you're the next person to be called onto the mat. You're waiting for the pin to happen, and you're standing over in the corner waiting for your time to go on the mat because you too need to wrestle with God. Friends, wherever we find ourselves this morning on that wrestling mat, in that wrestling match, know that God is with us. And when we wrestle with God, we are the ones who are changed. We see things clearer. We feel that peace that passes all understanding. And we walk forth knowing that without a shadow of a doubt, we have seen God face to face. It likely won't be the only time that we wrestle, though. And that's okay. Because the greatest promise of all is that we are resurrection people. We are people who know that whatever the wrestles of this life are nothing. Nothing compared to the promises in the life to come. Phil read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says, we see now in a mirror dimly. One day, we will see God face to face. The wrestling and the struggles will be over. Our faith, a victory, will be won. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.